Okay, so I'm Petr Nálevka, and I would like to show you a little case study of how we utilize XML technologies to make automated authoring of large set of documentation and very visual documentation also. So first, what are the advantages of the approach I'm going to present? So we can automatically generate fragments of documents using XSLT and DuckBook. Styles are easily pluggable. They are automatically applied, also using DuckBook. Everything is modular, reusable, thanks to include mostly. And we have professional typesetting with highly customizable outputs, thanks to DuckBook and FO. By the way, this presentation is a DuckBook slide presentation. So, We get highly visual documents using SVG, and we use Subversion for collaboration and versioning of our documents. And we allow authors to edit documents visually using XMLMind. There are barely any disadvantages, only some to mention. Maybe authors need to learn some new tools. They don't get what they change immediately. They don't see it immediately. They to change something and then generate a document, which may need some different approach. There may be an initial time to build, but I very much believe it gets paid off very quickly as soon as you start to do changes and as soon as you produce a similar document what you already did. And it's not an out-of-the-box solution. It's basically a framework, something a little build it yourself thing. So even the framework is really like general, you can use it in many different industries for different domains. We use it in my company to create documentation for large networking projects. So we have a domain which composed of several sites with different equipment, with different network topologies. We have IP plans, wireless connections, etc. And what we do is we support such kind of projects through all its lifecycle phases through this technology. So we generate different kind of documents from the proposal to detailed design documents, implementation and testing guides, inventory management documents, etc. And we all generate it from the same data. So something about the framework, it's very simple. I will just quickly show you the main principle. You have some XML-based domain-specific grammar. You apply XSLT style sheets to it, and you generate SVG fragments, DuckBook sections, tables, lists, etc. Then you have some repository of static diagrams, images, static DuckBook fragments, and everything gets composed together using XInclude to get final DuckBook books and articles. And the framework is basically glue between this kind of technologies, which helps you set up this very quickly to have a place where you put your domain-specific data, where you put your style sheets, define a pipeline to process those, etc. In the next phase, it's basically a standard DuckBook process when you take DuckBook sources and you apply some XSLT customization layer on it. We have something which we call styles, but basically those are like encapsulated pieces of DuckBook customization, which you can very quickly plug different styles to have completely different styling for different departments of your company, different branches, and so on. Then those styles share some customization layers, and they also have some specific stuff for different documents. So it's kind of layered approach to this customization layer. And we also have a nice feature that if you produce a PDF document finally out of your DuckBook sources, you can merge it with static PDF fragments. So that, for example, if you don't want to maintain a very large presentational data, you want just to merge it into your generated document, you can do it quickly. So, as I said, it's basically a framework, so it requires you to design a nice grammar for your domain and then do XSLT style sheets for it. So, this I think this is a even if it doesn't allow to have something out of the box, it's really a nice solution because you can hardly have something nicer than a domain-specific grammar optimally in XML. It's really a very maintainable structure. It's very much understandable to domain authors. You can get rid of redundancies. You can really change it easily, and your style sheets are very clean instead if you would use something generic purpose. So, and you have to keep in mind that your domain model is really the most rapidly changing part, that you always do changes there. So to keep it very agile, it's a good thing to have it like in your grammar and XML and just apply style sheets to it straight away. So I think this approach for this particular use case is very much agile, much more agile than if you would use some scripting languages or other technologies. The reason is that you don't need to do all this mapping between different formats. Like Mark was telling last presentation, you get rid of all those guys sitting next to your XML. And you have your domain-specific XML, you just straight away you transform it into some nice presentational grammars. So if your output is basically XML grammars, this is the easiest thing what you can do. You get a declarative approach, so everything is much more readable and you need less code to do it. We go even farther to make it even simpler to change things. We have several techniques which we propose. We don't use any strict schemas. We rather define only fixed points in the tree, which are more rigid than the other parts of the tree. And then we create like loosely coupled style sheet, which in the XPath you basically navigate through the fixed points and you expect that everything else is more likely to be changed. So this is to minimize the impact on changes in the domain-specific grammar or in your data, how they affect the style sheets actually. So the aim is to make large changes in your grammar possible without really touching much the XSLT. So for schemas, we don't use some grammar-based schemas like relaxing or XML schema, but we use Schematron, which is very good for loose validation. So with Schematron, everything is allowed until you make some rule. So first of all, we check these fixed points so that if those fixed points have been touched, that we are sure that we need to change a lot of our style sheets. If not, then it should be okay. And what is also Schematron very good in is we do consistency checks in the data. So even if you have a very beautiful grammar, you never can get really rid of inconsistencies. So what we do is, Schematron is really perfect for that. You can check really complex rules and output very much domain-specific messages. So you can really guide the authors what shall be resolved, what they should do. So in the networking domain, for example, you can assign an IP address to a network where it doesn't belong. So Schematron is excellent for that. You can't do that with XML schema 1.1, for example. So let's move on, and I would like to talk about visual documents. Because visual information is much more understandable for humans than some paragraphs of text. So it really makes sense to make your document as much visual as possible. Because if people understand your documents, you can, for example, win a tender or sell your product. You can use less skilled staff, let's say. So it really makes sense to visualize your documents. And why there are not so much visual elements in nowadays documents is because it's quite difficult to maintain visual data. And that's where something automated comes really in play. So if you can automate it, then you can really visualize your documents. So I will walk you through several use cases, what we do, just to show you what are the possibilities. For example, we implement image callouts, which is a DuckBook feature, But it's not implemented in the style sheets, so we have an XSLT SVG implementation. So basically, we get a bitmap image and we wrap it with SVG and we highlight some different areas, assign numbers to them, and each number is then referenced and some text is assigned to it. So you can imagine that keeping such kind of information in a bitmap format and opening an editor, changing something, it's a real nightmare. But with having it in XML and nice structure, you can really easily change the areas. You can change the text here because it's just plain text. So this is just one of the examples. Another one is in the networking domain, you do a lot of networking diagrams. And one thing you could do is to just take your data and generate those networking diagrams, automatically layout them, basically. But you don't get very nice result. It's quite complicated. So when we like to simplify the case, what we could do, we could let the author control the layout of the diagrams. For example, networking guys really love Visio. So they can draw their diagram in Visio and assign custom properties to different labels and elements in the diagram. And then we export to SVG and we have a nice XSLT style sheet which maps custom properties to XPath queries and populates the diagram with data, with our data. So basically, we can have, let's say, 20 sites with the same network setup, so the authors only draw the diagram once and populate data for each site. So it's very much maintainable. If they change place of one component, they regenerate and 20 diagrams are automatically newly generated. Another use case where we really generate diagrams from scratch is rec layout. So what we do, we have clip art of SVG generated, exported from Visio, and we have an XSLT style sheet which draws rec layouts from that. To show you an example, this is one of the documents. This is one of the documents which we produce. It's a detailed per site documentation, and this is SVG diagram where we did populate the data from our domain specific data. This is another one. And here's an example how can, for example, a rec layout look like. What is really cool about SVG that you can really zoom in. So if we do something like that, you have really detailed documentation with all the ports, cables, manufacturers, flashlights, everything, which can be very useful on site and installing things or repairing things. So next, where we get really visual, we do integrate with geographical formats. So we use integration with Google Earth, for example. You know they use this keyhole markup language, and it's an XML grammar, so it's very easy to get it into an XML-based framework. So, and we do two types of things. Either we use our data and we generate like KML data out of it. So basically we visualize our project on the Earth's surface. So you can see different sites, you can see how they are connected. If it's wirelessly, you can see line of sight, for example. So it's very useful. And another thing is we allow the authors to create the data from within Google Earth and then transform it into our data. And I would like to show you a little application which we used. And it also demonstrates how agile this approach is because it has been created in really two man days. And what we have is a little tool which allows us to plan how to wirelessly cover larger area with Wi-Fi signal. So what we do, the authors place these little pinpoints in Google Earth and assigns some custom metadata to it, which KML allows. And in the first transformation, we generate more richer data out of it. So we connect each device with wireless signal, which is basically meshing between the wireless units. Different colors show us different channels. The circles show us the coverage, so we see how is the site covered. Next, we generate automatically legends for those colors. We have table of our devices with geographic locations, so guys can go on site with GPS devices and really look where to install the devices. And what we have also, visual representation of how to install each individual device. So for example, here you see a device with 8 slots, and we calculate within XSLT from the geographic data, we calculate bearings, where to point different antennas. And we have a little optimization task which turns the unit so that the radios are equally distributed within the sectors. So that's only a use case, how we can visualize things. And there is a lot of future work. It would be nice to allow charting, SVG-based charting. I looked on the internet, I didn't find a nice library which would be really produce some professional output, like charts. There is one, okay, thank you. Or another useful thing could be like graph layouting, really automated. And another thing is to take SVG and make it really geographical aware to really render maps, not rely on Google Earth or some another tool. Visual tools. This is really a critical point for an XML authoring framework, because you really can't expect that authors will go into your XML code, because it's something very unfriendly for them. So if you don't want to spend all your days just converting ugly presentational format into nice XML, you really have to allow your authors to use visual tools. So what we already have is integration with Visio through SVG, as I have shown you. We have KML, and we have also Excel through comma-separated values files. So we have an XSLT style sheets which basically parses and comma-separated values files file into a generic XML, and then we convert it through some conventions in the spreadsheet into a domain-specific grammar. Another thing which is really crucial is a visual XML editor, because if you don't have something like that, then you would be doomed with converting Word documents into XML. And this is something which can't be really fully automated. You can have tools which help you as much as possible, but you cannot 100% automate it. So I've evaluated several editors like Xmetal, Oxygen, Epic, Cerna, and until now I have best experiences with XMLMind, which is something I can, after some customization, I can really hand it over to really non-technical people. I mean, people who only work with Office applications, and I get at least some results. It's quite promising. So what is good about XMLMind? I will just quickly present you some of the features. This is my article in DuckBook in XMLMind. They have very nicely done the shielding authors from the complexities of the tree, and at the same time allowing them to know what is exactly happening. And the thing which does that is this little breadcrumb at the top, which shows you where you are in the document. So it's the connection between the tree and the visual document, and it's very useful and it's very simple, because even non-technical people are quite used to work with things like breadcrumb. It's a typical element on a website, for example. Another thing is it's quite extensible, so we can easily write new commands. For example, what I implemented very quickly is cross-references in DuckBook. So for example, I have a section here, and I do associate ID with it. This is my test section. And here I do C cross-reference to ID section test. So that's it. They have CSS styling, so not something proprietary, really. You can use CSS, and not only for DuckBook, but you can really visually style your domain-specific languages, so people are able to visually add networks and equipment to your project. One very important thing is that your document is always valid. XMLMine doesn't allow you to do anything which would make your document invalid, and this is especially important if you hand it to non-technical people, because when something gets highlighted in red, they are completely confused by it, so it's useful. Another thing is integration with other tools. So I have, it's not something out of box, but I have to implement it copy and paste. So you can easily do things like this. Basically, paste table after, and I get the Excel table, paste it into XML, or I can just choose a random page and select two paragraphs, and I can do paste a list after, for example. So such kind of things. So even for me, when I need to convert some Word document into XML, I tend to realize that it's easier for me to copy and paste from Word rather than using some style sheet and correct all the mistakes which are there afterward. You can also visually edit modular documents. So this is important for in terms of reusability, because you can create a document fragment and visually add X includes to it in different places of your documentation. So I think I'm running out of time. So if you have questions, I have time. Well, I'm finished anyway, so. It's Ubuntu with Comfits. Comfits. So I'm not the Apple guy, no. But still had more than 3 beers yesterday. Ah, okay. You mean XMLMind?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that, but... the question was, it was not a complete question, sorry I interrupted you, but it was about XMLMind, that I'm proposing something and I didn't show some alternatives. I think it was really a quick overview of the features. I spent quite some time, maybe several weeks with XMLMind now, so I only wanted to share my experiences with that. I know there are other tools which can do similar stuff. You always have to do a lot of customization, and you probably get to a similar point, I'm sure. Okay.